had their own problems and deficiencies, unfortunately. On one hand, they were the most explicit insults against the incumbent president of the country. Even 2-3 months before these debates, they had the speeches were given to me, and I could see for myself, and sometimes heard there have been allegations and insults. Who were these insults addressed to? To the president of a country whose votes came from the same people? They made wrong attributions to him. The president, who is trusted by the people, they accused him of lying. This is no good. They fabricated some documents of the government performance and they handed them out here and there. And we can see, we know what's happening in this country, and we know that these are all against the facts. They are not true. They swore and they called the president superstitious. And they called him names, which is embarrassing. They forgot about morality and law. On the other hand, that's the same story. Almost the same thing happened by the other candidate. The performance of the past 30 years, it was undermined. Some people's names were mentioned. The people who are among the great personalities of this establishment. They're the same people who spent most of their life for the cause of this revolution. I've never mentioned people in front of their sermons, mentioned names, but here, because I have to mention some names here. Specifically, Mr. Hashemi Rafsanjani, Mr. Natak Nuri, I have to mention their names, I have to tell people. Of course, nobody has accused these gentlemen of corruption. Regarding the relatives and family members, if anyone has any claims, any complaints, they should refer to judicial sources. You cannot raise such issues before they are proved. If something is proved, then every society member is equal and you can raise the issue, but you cannot raise such claims once they are not proved. When such things are mentioned, then misunderstanding happens. Then the youth thoughts think the wrong way. Everyone knows Mr. Hashemi. I know him before the, not only after the Islamic Revolution. I know Mr. Hashemi. I have known him for 52 years closely. Mr. Hashemi is one of the main elements of the revolution in the course of the Islamic Revolution. He has been one of the most serious and active supporters of the revolution before the Islamic Revolution. And after the revolution, he was one of the most effective political figures alongside the late Imam. And after the departure of the late Imam, he has been alongside the leadership to date. Several times, on several occasions, he nearly got assassinated. And before the revolution, he gave away his belongings for the cause of the revolution. Our youth should know these facts. After the revolution, he had different responsibilities. 8 years he was president, before that he was parliament speaker, and then he had some other major positions. And all through this time, I do not know of one incident of in which he accumulated wealth. I don't know anything like that. These are the facts. Everyone should know. In the most sensitive periods, he was at the service of the revolution and the establishment. In numerous cases, of course, we have difference of opinion with Mr. Rafsanjani, and it's natural. But we should not create misunderstanding for people. Of course, between him and the president, since they have had their difference of opinion, since the president came to office, they have their difference of opinion in foreign policy, in the manner of spreading social justice, as well as in some cultural issues. Our president thinks the president's ideas are closer to those of mine. It's the same story regarding Mr. Natiq Nuri. He has also served this revolution. He has rendered great services. He cares a lot regarding the revolution, the establishment, no doubt about it. Well, live TV debates are good, but these shortcomings should be removed. After the debates, I talked to the president and warned him, because I knew he would listen to me. Regarding fighting corruption, the stance of the establishment is a clear one. In issues related to social justice, we have a clear-cut stance. Corruption should be fought anywhere it is. I want to mention the point here. We do not claim that in our establishment there is no corruption, no financial or economic corruption. Yes, there is a corruption, or else I would not write that 8-point letter addressing the heads of the legislative, executive, the three branches of the government. Yes, we have that kind of corruption. But the Islamic establishment is one of the soundest and the healthiest establishments in the world over today. Attributing to some Zionist reports and resources, attributing based on those reports, accusing the government of the country of corruption, is not the right thing to do. And questioning the credibility of statesmen is not the right thing to do either. Financial corruption is an important issue in the Islamic establishment. It must be fought against seriously, both in the judiciary, in the executive, and in the legislative branches of the government. Everyone is obliged to fight corruption. If corruption is not brought under control, it will spread further, as you can see in many world countries, in Western countries, who are claiming of campaigning money laundering and such issues. They are up to their ears immersed in such corruption. You heard the UK officials' remarks. This is only part of their scandal. The scandal goes way beyond this that is publicized.
Well,
let me summarize the part I'm addressing the people. The Friday election was an epic. The epic is historical. It affected the world. Some of our enemies in different parts of the world intended to depict this absolute victory and this definitive victory. They wanted to indicate that as a doubtful victory. Some even wanted to show this is a national defeat. They wanted to give you a bad taste in the mouth. They could not see that the highest turnout in the world goes down history in your name. But that happened. It's recorded in history in your name. They cannot manipulate it no more. Well, the time for competition is over. All those people who voted for these four candidates, they will have the rewards from God Almighty. They all fought in the battlefront of this establishment. They belong to this establishment. This might have even been considered as worship for some of these people, depending on their intention. 40 million people have voted for the revolution. It's not only 24 million that went to the president. 40 million votes were cast in favor of the revolution. People trust. They have their trust. But some supporters of some candidates should also know, should be sure, that the Islamic establishment will never manipulate people's votes and commit treason. The legal structures, the electoral regulation in this country does not allow any vote rigging. Everyone who is in charge of election process, they approve of this fact. 11 million votes difference. Sometimes there is a margin of 100,000, 200,000, but or 1 million maximum, then one can doubt maybe there has been some vote rigging or manipulation or irregularities. But there is a difference of 11 million votes. How can vote rigging happen? At the same time, I set the point, the Guardian Council accepts this fact that if some people have their doubts and if they have some proof and evidence, then it should be dealt with through legal ways. Everything that should be dealt with only through legal channels. I will never accept illegal innovations. Today, if the legal frameworks are broken, in the future, no election will be safe. In every election, some people are winners and some are losers. No election will be trusted in the future this way. Therefore, things should be investigated the right way based on law. And if there is any doubt, we have a comprehensive law. There is no deficiency to that. As the candidates have the right to have their monitors and observers, they have the right to file complaints. I ask the respected Guardian Council, if they want to conduct a recount of some votes, they can do it in the presence of the representatives of the candidates themselves. They can do that for themselves. And they can record everything and sign it in their presence. We have no problem with that. That's what I wanted to address you, respected people. Now I want to address the politicians and the candidates, those party leaders and political groups. I want to tell this group of people that today we are at a critical historical juncture in this country. Look at the affairs, world affairs. Look, if you look at the situation in the Middle East, if you look at the economic situation across the world, if you consider the issues in our neighboring countries, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and Pakistan, this is a critical point, a critical juncture of history. All of us are duty-bound at this historic juncture to remain vigilant, to be careful, to be cautious, not to make mistakes. In the election, people did what they were responsible to do, and they did it the very right way. But we have heavier responsibilities on our shoulders. Those who, in some ways, those who are looked upon as a source among the people, those politicians and those orchestrating the political waves, those people and party leaders, they should be so cautious about their words and their deeds. If they show just a little bit of extremism, then this extremism will penetrate into ranks of the people and will lead to dangerous consequences which will get out of their control. They themselves cannot control it at a point. We have had some instances. Extremism in the country, in society, any extremist move will fan up another extremist move. If political elites want to ignore law and break the law and take wrong measures which are harmful, willy-nilly, they will be held accountable for all the violence and blood and rioting. I recommend all these people, these old friends of mine, to keep self-restraint, to be patient. They should see the enemy hands working. They should see the hungry wolves laying in ambush. They are removing the mask of diplomacy from their faces these days, and they're showing their true face. I recommend them to open their eyes and see the enemy. Prominent diplomats of some Western countries who have been dealing with us through diplomatic rhetoric, the past few days they have removed their mask. You can see their true face nowadays. Their enmity toward the Islamic establishment, they are showing this. The most treacherous is the government of Britain. People are chanting the slogan, "Down with the UK, death to the UK." I tell these brothers of ours to think of their responsibility. They are responsible to God. They will be asked hereafter about the performance. I ask him to remember what Imam has recommended in his will. Law is the source of reference for everyone. What is an election held for? What's the reason for holding an election? All the differences should be settled at the ballot boxes. That's what the elections are for. In ballot boxes should determine what people want, what they don't want, not on streets. If after every revolution, every election, those who have lost votes, if they take to streets, take their supporters to streets and protest, and those who have secured the votes, if they also have their supporters on the streets, so why on earth hold elections then? People are having their business, they are frequenting in the streets, they live there, and we should not go to streets and show off our supporters to people. For a terrorist agent, an insider who is going to deal a terrorist blow, that's not a political issue. For those people, hiding among the masses of people is the best thing to do. People who are going to take part in the rally, It's a very good cover-up for those people. Who will then be responsible for this? The few people who got killed in the past rioting, they were from ordinary people, from Basij members. Who's to be held accountable for this? The reactions to be shown to these, they might take advantage of the situation and assassinate Basij members, disciplinary forces members, and there will be a reaction, an emotional reaction, naturally. Who's going to be responsible for these? You feel so bad hearing such mishaps. They go to Tehran University, dormitories complex, and they attack the dormitories, they attack those students who support the Islamic establishment, the revolutionary students, they are attacked. And then they chant slogans for supporting the leadership. My heart goes to those people. The slogan says down to those who oppose the religious jurisprudence.
Zurazmai khiabani ba'd az intekhabat kar dorosti nist.
Arms wrestling in streets is not the right thing to do after the election. It only challenges the election and democracy. I want everyone to put an end to this. This is not the right thing to do. If they don't stop this, then the consequences and the rioting, everything, they will be held accountable for all this. It's also wrong to assume that some may assume that through their street riots they can have a pressure lever against the establishment and try to force the officials to actually listen to them. This is also wrong to think that way. Giving up to illegal demands and requests under pressure, this itself is the beginning of dictatorship. The slogan says, "We'll never accept humility." This is a miscalculation. It's a wrong calculation. The consequences will direct those commanders behind the scenes. If necessary, people will get to know them in due time. I ask all these brothers of mine, all these friends, to act based on fraternity on friendship, abide by the law. Legal means are there in front of you. Peaceful ways are there. I ask, I recommend them to take that way. And I hope that God Almighty will help us choose that way. Everyone wants the progress of the country. The 40 million voter celebration should be appreciated. The enemy should not be allowed to ruin this celebration as it wants to do that. Of course, if some people want to choose another way, then I will have to talk to people. But this time I will speak to them more frankly. People announced their readiness to take the leader's orders. Well, the third group I want to address the leaders of media, Western media, and arrogant powers. In the past 2-3 weeks, I have witnessed the words and deeds of the statesmen in the United States and officials of certain European countries. I have followed all these in the weeks leading to the election. And on the election day and the night after the election, and also the past couple of days after the election was held, there was a changing process. Before the election, you could see that the bias and their words was that they wanted to cast doubt about the election itself so that they would see fewer people going to the polls. Of course, the result that you see in the elections, they had their own estimations and their words, both Europeans and Americans. They had guessed, they had predicted almost the same results. But this great wave of people, this is what they did not expect to see. This 85% turnout, 40 million voters, they never imagined this to happen. When they saw this great turnout, they were shocked. They realized what has happened in Iran. They came to understand that they need to adapt themselves with the new situation, be it in international issues, regional issues, the nuclear issues, both regarding the issues inside Iran. They were in for a shock. They realized that there is a new chapter in the issues related to the Islamic Republic, and that they have to come to terms with this new situation. This is when they saw this great popular move on the election day. Their own people and reporters covered the election. On Friday morning, they started all these comments and reports, and some feedback were seen. When some candidates started protesting, then they felt that they have found a chance. So they jumped at the chance and went, let's call it surfboarding again. Their tone after the election changed on Saturday and Sunday. Well, little by little, they cast their eyes on some of these street rallies invited by called for by some candidates on the streets. Then they pinned their hope and they gradually removed their masks and they showed their true color. Some foreign ministers and presidents and heads of state of a number of European countries and also America, they made some comments that helped you to get to know the real true self and true intentions better. The U.S. president said that we were waiting a day like this to see people on the street. Some people attributed these remarks to Obama. And then they write letters and they say that we are ready to have ties, that we respect the Islamic Republic, and on the other hand, they make such comments. Which one should we believe? Inside the country, the elements of these foreign elements started work. They started street rioting and vandalism, setting ablaze to public property. They made shops and businesses insecure. They looted some shops, and actually they try to deprive people of security. People's security was targeted by these people. This has nothing to do with people and supporters of candidates. This stems from ill-wishers, from mercenaries, and the elements working for the espionage machines of the West and Zionism. This is the slogan of death to America. What happened inside the country, the wrong way, this, the mistake of some people inside the country, this misled some people outside the country. They considered Iran was like Georgia. A Zionist American capitalist a few years before, based on his own comments that was reflected in some media and press, he said that I spent $10 million in Georgia and I started a velvet revolution and I replaced the government with another one. And these fools thought that the Islamic establishment, the Islamic Republic of Iran, this great nation, this nation cannot be compared. Who are they comparing this nation with? That their problem is that they have not come to know this revolution, this people. What matters, what is the worst thing to me amid all this are the comments that were made in the name of sympathizing with human rights and taking it hard on people, these comments that the American officials made. They said that we are worried about Iranian nation. You are worried about Iranian nation. Do you consider anything called human rights? Who did that? This, what's happening to Afghanistan now? Who is bringing fighting and bloodshed to Afghanistan? Who is crushing Iraq under its soldiers' boots and brought humility to that country? In Palestine, who supported the tyrannical Zionist regime and gave them so much funds and political support. Even inside America, you get surprised during the time of the Democrats when they were in power in the U.S., at the time when the husband of this lady in America, he refers to Ms. Clinton, 80 people, 80 plus people related to some David and group were burnt alive at that time. There were these same Democrats who did this. They call it David ethnic group or religious sect. For some reason, they were not liked by the U.S. administration. They staged a sit-in in a house. They could not push them out of the house. They put the house on fire. 80 people, men, women, and children, got burnt alive in that house. Now, do you realize what human rights is? Well, I believe the officials of America and some European countries, they should feel a little embarrassed, and they should not open their mouths and say anything they want to say. The Islamic Republic is the flag bearer of defending humanity. We support the oppressed people of Palestine, Iraq, Afghanistan, anywhere where people are being oppressed, we support them. And this is the sign that we are raising the flag of human rights, that believing in Islam, this flag of defending humans is raised in this country. We do not need any advice on human rights. Well, that's what I wanted to say about the election. And finally, I want to address the 12th Imam of the Shiites, Hazrat Mahdi. We tell him that we are doing what we have to do, what we are obliged to do, and we have said what we have had to say. I have my own life I have a handicapped body. And I have a little good name that I owe that to you. I put this all on the line, and I'm ready to sacrifice all I have for the cause of this revolution and this establishment. I'm offering it all to you. We want you, we beseech you to pray for us. Everything in this country, the revolution belongs to you. This establishment is yours. You are our supporter. We'll continue the path with force, with full force. We ask you to support us with your prayers all along the way.
إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا.
People are chanting the slogan that they are ready to give their life on the cause of their leader.
السلام عليك يا روح الله أيها العبد الصالح المطيع لله ولرسوله وللأئمة المعصومين عليهم السلام.
Well, that was Iran's Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei with a very heartfelt, sensitive, yet stern, making a lot of valid points at Tehran University, at the auditorium, of which shots you're seeing right now there. And there you have the Supreme Leader. He just finished his speech, a very highly anticipated speech in which a lot of issues were addressed, not only regarding the elections, but regarding the Islamic Republic and beyond. The Islamic leader said that Iran's June 12 presidential election was a great display of democracy and added that it was natural to believe in different candidates. He called for unity. Khamenei also said there was a collective commitment amongst the Iranian people in which the June 12 elections showed a great sense of responsibility. He went on further to say the elections was a political earthquake refreshing the Islamic Republic. And he added that the polls showed that the Islamic democracy, which the Iranian people showed the world, was the framework of which it will never be shattered. And that was indeed the sentiments behind the people, including the candidates, that will never create divisions because they truly remain faithful to the Islamic Republic.